This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 506, I think. It's not going to be too many more episodes until we're 10 years worth of podcasts. I think that's like 520, so we're 14 away. That happens in March sometime. All is well. All is well. It's been an interesting week. We're down two programmers. We're down a database administrator. It's okay. It's okay. We made it through. And this was the big week to close a bunch of stuff, but so far, we're doing okay. We think we're doing okay. Interestingly enough, we were also running a new process. It's only a couple of months old on our month-end close for one of the divisions. And, the one of the guy who's out is the guy who built the new end-of-month process. So he unexpectedly had some surgery, and so we. But that seemed to go okay. Seemed to have gone okay. So I'm going to be out tomorrow, but for the rest of the month-end close, we're on the old process, and the guys there have done that countless times, so it should be fine. So it's been a little interesting this week, but that's okay. That's okay. Step at a time. God is faithful. Everything's been okay. So work is good, all is well, writing is going fine, I got all of the edits that I needed to get reviewed last night, I start my read through tonight, so I have a week and a half to do the read through, and then I gotta prep some files, and gotta get them sent off, and then we can call book 9 done. And then I got to start a read-through on book 10. And, then we'll see what there is to see on book 10. And we'll go from there. So I'm excited to get back to book 10. Because, I got to the place where all the balls were in the air. Well, beginning to get all the balls in the air. And it was fun so far, and I've had a few more ideas now that I've been reviewing book 9, and I'm sure I will have more as I'm doing that. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back to book 10. And then, book 11, some things I've been stretching timelines and things to get book 11 to land at a specific time. And so I should be able to get that done. Once I start into book 11, and then we'll do book 12, and 13, and 14, and 15, and 16, and blah, blah, blah. So, anyways, all is well. I am losing my light, so I should really... Oh, was it? No. I'm trying to remember when we had the funeral. We had the funeral for Dad on the 27th. This is Thursday the 6th. Okay, yeah. I already talked about that last time. So, yes, we had a lovely funeral for Dad. All is well. So there we go. I'm just a little brain weary today. Because it was an exciting week. This week, I think maybe, I was listening to a YouTube video, which was Dave Rubin YouTube video, and he had Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson on, and they were talking. And, you know, at first I was listening going, yeah, okay, I've heard this. But then they got into some stuff that was some of what I was hearing before, but Dave Rubin also kind of chimed in and mentioned a couple of things, and I thought, yeah, okay. So I want to talk about this. So this is about 20 minutes into it, 26 minutes into it, they start talking about this. And Ben Shapiro was talking about the study that had come out of the CDC that was showing that for the second year in a row, that life expectancy in the United States has dropped. This is like, from what he said, after 150 years of it going up, that for the second year in the row, it has dropped. And the drop is in very specific areas. It's in deaths due to heroin or opioid overdoses, and in suicides, both of which are indicative. If he has his figures correct, which I didn't look this up, I should have gone ahead and just looked this up. I didn't look it up. He thought that the CDC report was saying like they had 50,000 overdoses the year before, but last year there was like 70,000, which is a huge increase. So his interpretation is that what's going on, and this is where it started getting interesting, and I thought he was correct. He said is that we have been saying now for some time that meaning, the meaning that you find in life just comes down to just doing what you want. That's how you find meaning in life. You know, follow your passion, all that kind of stuff. But the problem is if you do that, you don't find meaning in life. And that led into a big discussion about hierarchies and about, you know, the left and the right and their places in hierarchies and how the right normally sort of manages and sets up hierarchies because it's efficient. The left then rails against hierarchies, and they were talking about criticizing the system and flipping the system upside down and how that we don't need those hierarchies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The meaning in life that Jordan Peterson would put forth is in fact that that life is suffering, and that it's suffering tainted by malevolence. And he made a point to underline that in this one. He said, which I think is the more accurate formulation, it's suffering by malevolence. And that's interesting because I have heard him say that before, but he really made a point to amplify that. And I'm thinking, yep, you're getting closer to that flesh thing. and that the meaning, you have to have a meaning to set against life in order to feel like there's a goal, and there's, and so you really need hierarchies because you need to be looking up to something that can give you hope and a goal. And he's saying that one of the things that makes that so interesting in his talks, Jordan Peterson was saying, that as he has these talks, that the room goes quiet. Everybody's really listening when he starts talking about the fact that meaning can only come from embracing your suffering and doing what you can to make the world a better place. And Jordan Peterson was saying that he thinks the problem that atheist types like Sam Harris and Steven Pinker, etc., are running into are the fact that you know, that they might be able to kind of work their way around and find a purpose. But if all you have is rebellion against unfair hierarchies and maybe rebellion against religion and rebellion against this, that while there are some people who can function under those type of systems, there's a whole bunch of people who can't. And you're really left with nothing. And so all you're left with then is this suffering that you're experiencing. You're not finding meaning by simply doing what you want. And then things get really weird. And I'm losing my light, so I'm just going to have to do this from memory. Then things can get really weird because you see other people who seem to be doing fine, and as long as those people just like inherited their money, or you know, they didn't have to work at it, well, you can discount them and you can criticize them. But if you find someone who's conscientious, find someone who is doing well at life and succeeding in the hierarchies, then their existence really becomes an affront to you when you're not finding meaning in life. It becomes an affront because they are showing you up. And then they got into a discussion of Cain and Abel and the ancient story of Cain and Abel and how this is playing right into what's happening today. And that was an interesting observation, because obviously Abel recognized the world, the existence, for what it was, that it was made by God, and God was interested in a blood offering. And so when Abel brought the blood offerings, God was pleased by that, because God had already set up this system where there were certain archetypes that he was foreshadowing. But Cain decided, no, I don't want to play in that structure. I want to make my own structure. And what happened is then, of course, God does not honor Cain's sacrifices. And so then Cain gets upset, and God comes to Cain and says, you know, why are you upset? It lies within you to solve this. And of course, the solving is, there is a structure that's set up, there is a belief system is set up, and if you will conform to that belief system, then you'll find the meaning that you're seeking in life. But if you decide you're going to do it your own way and do what you want, you're not going to find meaning in life. And of course, the end result is that Cain ends up murdering Abel, because Abel's existence is an affront. Because Abel is succeeding, because Abel has found a meaning in life following God's path. That's a really interesting application of the story of Cain and Abel to our present circumstances. And so then the other thing they got, well, at some point in all of that discussion, then Dave Rubin piped up and he said, you know, he said, of all of us sitting here, he said, I'm the atheist. I'm the one who doesn't believe that we need, you know, that we can be just fine without this organized or without religious thought and et cetera, et cetera. He said, but I'm seeing more and more that we need these stories, we need these mythos in order to find meaning in life. And he said, I've sort of been dragged along with this. He's actually been traveling with Jordan Peterson, And he's been, you know, watching the crowds as Jordan Peterson has been talking about embracing the suffering in life and the stories that give our lives meaning and that kind of stuff. And it's really interesting to watch an atheist then, as he's exposed to that over and over, coming to the point where he's saying there's got to be something more. You know, there has to be something more to all this. And it's really interesting to see Ben Shapiro is an Orthodox Jew. So, I mean, he firmly believes in God. He firmly believes in God's revelation. So, you know, if you're talking about the Judeo-Christian ethic, I mean, he's right there with it. Jordan Peterson says that he acts as though God exists. He believes that there is a biological component that has been developed over the ages, where these stories are rudimentary and profound and necessary to our existence, but he's not quite sure what the true source of it is. But he finds his meaning in embracing these stories as well. So then, out of that, I'm losing my light. I'm losing my light. So then, out of that, they started talking about. They started talking about the failure of the Enlightenment and the different ways that people view the Enlightenment. So what the atheists will, like Sam Harris and Steven Pinker, will try to say about the Enlightenment is that the Enlightenment was the final throwing off of the shackles of organized religion, of a religious thought, that finally in the Enlightenment that people came to these important truths that were just in themselves and they didn't need religion, and so they just tossed religion aside. And out of that then, they focused on rational thought and they focused on scientific inquiry, and look, all the great things that have been given us because of that. And what Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro and others are saying is, no, wait a minute, you know, you had at least thousands of years where there's a specific track that leads thought in a certain way, that first of all, you have a single unifying force in the universe, i.e. God, a master designer that makes things understandable, that makes things investigatable, and then you also have this idea of the value of the individual, and out of that, you have to have that as a precursor in order to get to the Enlightenment. Now, and it is true that the Enlightenment abandoned these a priori assumptions that there is a God and that God gives meaning to life. While they abandoned those in favor of quote-unquote rational thought, there can be a case that can be made that by doing that, you're stripping the meaning out of life. So you can still keep functioning for a while if you're acting like you still believe that there's meaning in life in the Judeo-Christian ethic, even though you're saying that you don't. So you're still raised with the Judeo-Christian ethic, and so because of that, you think life makes sense. I've told this story before, that I was out with a business associate years ago, and at one point he looked at me and he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. He said, why didn't you ever turn your back on Christianity? Because, you know, I was raised as a Baptist. And I smiled and I said, no, I understand that you are. You were raised with some kind of religious background. And he kind of looked at me and he said, well, what? And I said, well, you believe the world makes sense. And nobody who isn't raised with a religious background just automatically makes that assumption. Because you believe that there is people like that, I should say, I didn't say this name, but I mean, people like that believe that there is some unifying principle out there. Even though they might not give it lip service anymore, they do believe it. And in this discussion that Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro and Dave Rubin were having, they were talking about that fact that this is the failure of the rationalists, that when they abandoned everything in favor of scientific inquiry, that in fact you're losing the meaning of life because you don't have a mythical, i.e. religious, i.e. spiritual basis any longer. It's simply just facts. And simply saying, well, just do whatever you want to do, that'll give you meaning in life. It doesn't give you meaning in life. Which is, that's all, to me, like a really interesting additional piece to this puzzle. That, yeah, you can have all this scientific inquiry, you can have all this pursuit. And a lot of the early scientists, they all believed in God. They all believed in at least a deity. Einstein, you know, famously said, God does not play dice with the universe. And maybe he was just a deist, but at least he believed in this unifying principle, this clockmaker or something out there that got things started and gave us the possibility. And so I've talked for a while about the three waves of science, but I think maybe this is another aspect. I'm getting my mail, one moment. I think maybe this is another aspect of what the potential is to turn us in a different direction from, you know, simply refusing to believe in God. That not only do you have this discovery of the increasing complexity and the difficulty of finding a way to explain the increasing complexity and explain the fine-tuning of the universe and explain the huge improbability of life in all of its amazing, amazing structures, that it just doesn't seem explainable by random chance. Unless, of course, you make a multiverse, so you can say, well, there's infinite possibilities, so therefore it doesn't matter how improbable it is. It will eventually happen. That's one way to go about it, but it seems somewhat dissatisfying unless the only thing you really care about is simply getting rid of some kind of designer. This was all very interesting to talk about this Cain and Abel thing and remapping that, to see the change in Dave Rubin, that he's moving towards some sort of a meaning derived from what is now mythology for him, you know, it's et cetera, et cetera. It's very interesting to talk about the fact that the Enlightenment may in fact have sown the seeds of their own despair and own, not destruction, but disillusionment, because you can't. I mean, Ben Shapiro just comes out and says, look, there's a God-shaped, he uses that thing that the evangelicals have used, Christians I've heard say, for, you know, there's a God-shaped vacuum or space inside us, that's the only thing that will fill that, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that was interesting to see. And it's going to be interesting to see where all this ends up. because I find it astonishing that Jordan Peterson can talk to people about a life of meaning being found in suffering and taking responsibility and can be packing out, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 seat auditoriums talking about these kinds of things, and it's just him talking. That obviously there is a real hunger in people. And him doing that not only in the United States, but going to places like Sweden and, you know, the post-Christian places. And it's just very interesting to me that God has created this environment and apparently bound us so closely to his heart that without a relationship with him, there's just no way to find satisfaction in life. And the kindness that he's shown to us, that he gives us free will to where if we will exercise our free will, we do at least have the capability of making our lives better by refusing the flesh, by being disciplined, by being focused, that all those things will work and we can achieve a certain type of success on our own without him. And yet at the same time, there is this ache within us because we are looking for that relationship. This is all, it's really interesting to watch people who are not ready for Jesus to be quote unquote smuggled into the conversation. It's really interesting to watch them work their way around it and just keep drifting closer and closer to Jesus. So we'll see where this all goes. But I think this is just another indication that, you know, if you're going to take God out of the mix, your society is only going to head in one direction. You really cannot sustain a society in terms of any kind of real kindness and generosity and mercy and tolerance and all those things without some form of spiritual / religious / mythological / transcendent thought. So it's going to be fascinating to see where this all goes. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.